Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Jacob.
And I'm Tom. And we are two members of the three-piece Moon Tower. Devin sends his apologies that he can't make it on this today, but it is our absolute honor to be on here with you, Dennis. Thank you so much for taking the time.
I didn't pay you to say that. Anyway, so I like revisionist history because the internet is a fun place.
I love revisionist history.
Well, let's see how good I am. So you already cheated on one. You're a trio. Uh-huh. You're the world's shortest band.
World's shortest
band. Yes,
sir.
Which is really, really important. there's St. Louis and Baltimore, or St. Louis and Baltimore. You're industrial, you're an electronic indie pop, but you're French house-inspired production. See, I'm doing this in the full announcer voice.
Yes, yes.
Right? All of that stuff. That's great. Now, that's all the stuff that's on the internet. Let's talk about USC. Let's talk about the music program. Did you graduate? Did you make it through alive?
Barely, but yes.
Absolutely, by the hair of our chinny chin chin, did we make it through that
by
one.
By the skin of a guitar string, is what you were saying. And it was the two of you that met there?
No, we all met there.
You all met at USC, and you said, hey, the world needs another band. We've gotten this full music education, so why don't we form a friggin' band, right?
Yeah, the world always needs more bands. If the world, even if the world doesn't need more bands, you have to have a healthy sense of delusion to think maybe the world just needs one more band.
So you all have formal music education at a very expensive school. My daughter's mom went to USC, so I know these things. So you
spent
the bucks.
Yeah, and our parents aren't celebrities who paid for us to get in either.
Yeah, so you spent the money, you come out, the three of you know each other. How did you decide what this was going to be? What did you say to each other?
So we actually, when we were getting started, we were sophomores at USC. And our original intention was not necessarily to start a band, but was to kind of throw an event that would be similar to something that you'd find on the fraternity row at USC. It wasn't necessarily our scene, that the fraternity row, but we wanted to put on something with big production value. We wanted to have lights, and we would come and provide everything besides the space, if you'd give us the space, and then we were the house band that would come on at the end of the night.
So these were these infamous underground house parties that are written up.
I mean, it's like Tom said, you know, the fraternity scene is so insular. But they throw objectively, because they spend the most money, like they throw the biggest, quote, best parties, right? But it's just such BS. And we were like, well, we can do that. We can have shows with that high production value, and we can make them for everybody. So we wanted to make these spaces that were really inclusive, and gave everybody a chance to, you know, have a night that's not just, you know, some string lights in a corner and like a keg in the other corner. Like we wanted to bring somebody something that was comparable to something that they might see in an actual venue. And we knew that we had to do that to stand out. So, like Tom said, it's like, we just got this reputation where it's like, if you give us a backyard, like we'll bring the best show you've ever seen at a college.
And at what point did you actually have material that you said, okay, now we're going to turn this in, you know, where was the segue from we're playing some parties to this is our material and we're going to make this an actual thing?
Our goal was always like, once there's people that we don't know personally asking us to put our music online, then we'll consider it, because we really care about the live show more than anything, and that's what we started this all to do. But we knew that, like, at some point, you're a band, like, you're artists, like, you want to share your art, you want to share your music with people, but we didn't just want to be, like, only putting it out to friends, because our friends heard it all, like, we made the music in the house we lived in, we played shows all over campus, like, our friends can hear the music, but once it started to get, like, okay, there's, like, a lot of people now asking to hear this music, there are people that, their friends saw us at a different college, you know, we started, like, we opened up for the band Bad Sons before we like ever had a song out. So we just started to get this reputation and this following, and we're like, I think it's time now to start putting music out. And that was like 2018, the summer of 2018.
That's not very long ago.
No,
it was not.
Let's get organized here for a second. So you play these house shows, you start building a fan base.
our manager, who's been with us since pretty much the second or third show that we ever put on, her name is Karina Glastris, and she was another USC student who was a year older than us. She is still, to this day, her main gig is she is our manager, and she also acts as our tour manager when we're on the road. So she is an absolute gem. We also have another manager that co-manages along with her named Simon White that came onto the project in around October of 2018.
Yeah, something like that.
And so at that time we had three songs released, being William, Leaving You Behind, and Long Hair. And he actually found us via
his babysitter. Yeah.
Yeah.
His babysitter was our neighbor. And
that's
she,
how it all, the old babysitter get a manager.
I mean,
trick.
Let's just say, like, our friend Whitney is not just a babysitter. She's a boss. And like,
No, was I get it.
Babysitting, I'm sure, just like out of the kindness of her heart. And we're all in college and we need to make a book. But yeah, Whitney, she, I guess, played him William or something. And Simon and I just like got coffee. And he was just sort of more of a mentor. He's like, he's a genius and just such an, it's always amazing to have people who've been through it help you sort of put your anxieties in context. And he asked, he's like, you know, can I be a part? And we were like, yeah, but you know, like we love our manager, and like, I guess if she's down to co-manage with you, we're down, but if not, like, you know, we're happy. And they've had like a wonderful relationship, and Simon is definitely more on like the mentorship side. Karina, like Tom said, is our manager. But we've just been really lucky to have these mentor figures in our lives, you know, including Tom Windisch. You know, he's a legend and somebody that we all looked up to, just going to school at USC and like, you know, just understanding like how important the business side of the music industry is when you work with the right people. And Tom, Simon, those people are the right people. They're people that are in it for the love of music and are in it to help emerging artists. And we've just been really lucky that these people have seen something in us.
What is the filter for this band for a song? How do you know it's a song for this band?
That's a great question that I don't think necessarily has one concise answer. I'd say that every single one of the songs we've ended up releasing has emerged from a different place. We like to say that the songs themselves are kind of like Pokemon. We have to go out into the wilds and catch them, which we were just in Arizona for the past 3 weeks working on our full length that will be our debut. And basically what we've done in the past in Draper, Oregon, or Draper, Utah, Gold Beach, Oregon, up Northern California, just kind of all these obscure places, Ozark, Missouri, we have set up shop and produced out the vast majority of the music just in Airbnbs. And since we are self-produced and almost entirely self-written, it's been, I guess, very freeing and has found the most fruitful results when we detach from reality.
So nobody's bothered to try to hand you, and this is good because you've got young management too, nobody's trying to hand you the big producer yet and say, okay, that's going to craft your sound. It sounds like you want to be DIY and you do not want that to happen.
Yeah, correct. I mean, we're not naive enough to think we can't learn from people.
I mean, being a live band first, mm-hmm. and you're in this world, and you went to Arizona. So you self-produced in Arizona too. You did not bring in anybody.
Correct.
Yeah, I think
entirely.
The way that our process always worked is like, we want to get the songs to like 90% to 99% before.
And
we
then
bring
you hand it to a mixer.
Yeah, or like to get some additional production, like
who makes it shiny and smooth and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Correct. I think it's so important, and something we learned just through trial and error is it's so important to get other ears on your music. You can't just make things in a vacuum.
Okay, so here's a good discussion. Dance records need deeper stories in the lyrics, and production needs to be more in your face. This is what you've said. Talk to me about production more in your face. Is this Phil Spector land where you just want everything to be right there?
It's not far. I mean, we love the wall of sound thing, but I think it moreover came from, there seems to be a proclivity in young kind of music school musicians our age, not to overgeneralize at all, who in the genres that you might find bedroom pop or the kind of jazz pop, where in lo-fi music, it kind of sounds as though you're eavesdropping into a band playing in the room behind a closed door that you're next to. And I think we wanted to just be the opposite of that. We never wanted, never wanted you to feel like you were eavesdropping in on something that we weren't ready for you to hear. We never wanted to hide the music behind a sea of reverb or, you know, a million delays that regenerate until you can't tell it was a lyric in the first place. Our goal is to put something that we are confident enough to leave dry and leave Phil Spector-y. Yeah.
We're in a really weird time. You know, the music you're making, when you think about what your goal is and what you want your listeners to do, is, you know, you want to entertain, but you also want them to take action. Am I right?
Absolutely. I think our goal is to be as honest and transparent as we can about the confusion and struggle that we're going through in our own life. And our goal is just to sort of show our own naked truth and show us growing and overcoming our problems and getting to know ourselves better. We're not trying to preach anything to anybody. We're not trying to tell anybody what to do. I think all that we hope is that by people seeing us face challenges in our life head on, that they may be inspired to do the same in their life.
But I mean, otherwise you're happy guys. I mean, you know, aside from the fact that life sucks.
Life doesn't suck. I mean, we're happy guys. We're not happy go lucky guys, but also life doesn't suck. I think we're just striving to take each moment and each day as it comes, in the least cliche way possible. I mean that. And trying to find a way to introduce some normalcy into a life as a musician that is full of twists and turns and things that you can't plan for, and you try to get excited about opportunities and then they're taken away from you, and then opportunities you never thought would come and sit in your lap. And I think that a lot of people feel like this in their life, whether they're musicians or not. And it's just about finding a way to let yourself feel deep pain when you need to and work through that, but then also like allowing yourself to enjoy the happy moments when they come as well. And I think to sort of answer your question about like, what do we, you know, like you said, like we do have an activism to what we do, and we do have a message to our music. But again, that's because we believe that we have, you know, the duty as people with a platform to stand up for the things that we believe in. And we hope that as we continue to grow, people will know that supporting us means supporting people who think that they can do some, you know, at least net positive for the world that they live in.
So I have invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by others in between.